This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit marks its 313th birthday this week, drawing some extra attention because, of course, the 313 is Detroit's area code. Stateside's partner, the Detroit Free Press, is marking the occasion with a ton of historical pieces, and that includes a look at the five worst mayors in Detroit history. Yes, Kwame Kilpatrick and Albert Kobo, we're talking to you. And also the five best mayors. On the best list, Coleman Young, mayor of Detroit from 1974 to 1994, Detroit's first black mayor. Throughout Detroit's financial crisis, it's been pretty easy to find those who blame Young for Detroit's ruin. But doesn't that conveniently overlook the decades of poor decisions by mayors who preceded him and those who followed him? Let's take a closer look at Coleman Young's legacy with writer Larry Gabriel. He explored that in a piece for Bridge Magazine. Also, Stephen Henderson, a Detroiter who is the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. Stephen, why do you think Coleman Young's become such a lightning rod for blaming Detroit's bankruptcy?
Well, I mean, I think because he's a lightning rod for everything in Detroit. I mean, he's the single most powerful litmus test, I think, in this area, which has always struck me as odd because, you know, if you go to other cities, you know, Richard J. Daley, you know, the first, was mayor for quite a long time in Chicago. No one's talking about him today. If you go to New York, no one talks about Ed Koch or the great mayors of their past. I mean, they don't frame the narratives for the current political conversation. Yet here in Detroit, we are now 20 years since Coleman Young was mayor here, almost 20 years since his death, and you cannot get a bigger reaction out of somebody by saying any other name than his. I mean, he is the sort of beginning and end of all political discussion in the city still, which I think is unfortunate. That says a lot about our community. It says a lot about race, I think, and how we perceive race and racial firsts. But that's the reason he's the lightning rod in the bankruptcy, is because he is the lightning rod for everything around here.
And Larry Gabriel, in your column in Bridge, you asked the question, what was it exactly that he did that was so bad? So what answer did you come up with?
Well, you know, I didn't come up with an answer that he was so bad, other than the fact that he was an African-American and he took political power at this time. And he held on to it for 20 years, which I don't know of any other mayor in Detroit that was mayor for 20 years. There may have been one, but certainly one in the modern era. And he, you know, he wielded his power. Generally, he did good things, but he indeed did wield his power.
And Stephen, I know the Free Press last fall did a big, big series digging into the piles of documents analyzing the city's financial history. And just kind of recap for us what the data tells us about Coleman Young's financial stewardship of Detroit during his 20 years in office.
Well, I mean, by any reasonable measure, Coleman Young was a fiscal conservative. I mean, this is somebody who lived within his budget, who understood the value of long-term investment, somebody who was creative about finding revenue and squeezing every dollar and every penny out of every dollar that the city had. You know, a lot of the things that have happened in Detroit over the last 20 years since he was gone would have made Coleman Young blush in terms of the way that we've handled finances, the kind of money we've borrowed, the kind of deals we've agreed to borrow that money. He would never have done those things, and he didn't do those things, the kind of things that we promised to retirees and then did not fund. You know, Coleman Young was very, very cautious about that and making sure to not build long-term liabilities that the city couldn't afford. But of course, the popular narrative is the opposite, that he was the beginning of financial waste in Detroit City Hall, which, of course, you know, as we showed in that series, which was called How Detroit Went Broke, that's just not true.
One can only imagine what he would say about Kwame Kilpatrick's swaps deal.
Yeah, right. I mean, that deal alone. Now, what's interesting about that is, I think what Coleman Young would have said at that point is, we're bankrupt and we need to seek the protection of a federal court because we owe $400 million that we don't have. And that really was the other option. And, Kilpatrick came up with what was then thought to be a pretty creative way to avoid that. But there's no way that I think Coleman Young would have signed on to that.
Well, my sense is he wouldn't have gotten to that point.
That's right. we wouldn't have dug the $400 million hole. That's exactly right, which was, again, that was a pension hole. That was a hole in the pension fund in terms of how much we need to be contributing to make sure that all of the retirees get the money that they have coming to them. We were $400 million short. Coleman Young didn't put us in those kinds of situations.
I'm speaking with Detroit Free Press editorial page editor Stephen Henderson and with writer Larry Gabriel as we explore the legacy of Coleman A. Young. And anyone who was around during Coleman Young's tenure remembers his feisty and very often combative style. Let's take a listen to a typical sample during an interview with ABC News.
To attack Coleman Young, I've become a code word for black. To attack Detroit is to attack black. Politicians run for office by attacking Detroit, by attacking Coleman Young. The media gets headlines.
You're a symbol.
By running bad. Exactly. You got it.
For both of you, was it take no crap black leader what the city needed in the 70s and 80s?
He certainly was appropriate for the times. Okay, I always take an open look at saying that there's not only one thing that we needed or could use, but he was appropriate for the time. He spoke very bluntly at a time when things needed to be said bluntly. And if in that clip that you just played, you know, he told it like it is.
Oh, no, I think he absolutely did. And look at, I think you have to look around to see what that created. I mean, I'm part of a generation of African-American now adults in leadership positions in the city who absolutely owe their positions to his having been mayor, to the way that he insisted that African Americans be let, you know, not just in the door but to the head of the room in terms of managing things around here. I mean, Detroit was a very different place before he was elected for black people. You know, that doesn't mean he didn't make terrible mistakes. It doesn't mean that, you know, at times he adopted that sort of combative stance to the detriment of you know, relations with the suburbs, with the state, in the region. But, you know, a close friend of his has always said to me that what people don't understand when they talk about Coleman Young was that being pro-black was not anti-white for him. It was just pro-black. It was about, you know, let's make sure that everybody is included in the kind of opportunities that exist around here. And somebody like me, you know, I had a close relative who was part of the Coleman Young administration when he was elected in 1973. I think they would all say that you can see the legacy of that all over this town and all over this state.
And I believe that something you just said is still in operation, which is being pro-black is somehow seen as being anti-white. That's still the case.
Yeah.
When you bring up, you know, black is beautiful or something, people automatically think you think white is ugly. And I don't agree with that.
Right.
Well, I think something that struck me in a column, Stephen Henderson, that you wrote at the time of that big piece in the Free Press was asking everyone dial down the emotion from the discussion of Detroit's problems and also come to realistic terms with who Coleman Young really is. How does doing that help as we seek a path back to recovery for Detroit?
Well, I mean, as a student of history, I think, you know, the important thing is always to get it right. That's the first thing you got to do. You can't understand what's going on now. You can't put things in context. You can't chart the framework for the future if what you're relying on is a past that's full of, you know, misinformation and misunderstanding. So I don't think we can build a proper framework for good leadership in Detroit in the future so long as we are stuck in a narrative that says our past is something that it wasn't. At the same time, we're going to come to terms with the things that Coleman Young did that weren't the best. You know, I think African Americans in the city sometimes tend to gloss over the negative aspects of his administration. You know, I once was considering trying to put together a documentary film about the former mayor, and the working title was Coleman Young, Everybody Has Him Wrong. You know, both supporters and critics, I think, have mythologized this person who was, you know, a person, very human, and had tremendous positive attributes, but also some real foibles that we need to come to terms with. But the reason to come to terms with that, I think, is that truth is power, and truth forms the most powerful narrative you can ever have, and we need that in Detroit going forward.
Larry Gabriel, Bridge Magazine contributing writer, and Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press. Thank you so much for a great conversation, and thanks for being on Stateside.
Absolutely.
Thank you.